No,
brings
actually.
You inner satisfaction and joy. It does. Know that you have one more thing over others.
But I have many things over others. Thank you very much.
I said one more thing over others.
Okay.
Wow.
One more on the list of many.
I have many things over each other, people.
I know, right?
That's
why she's a teacher.
Anyway, totally much more superior in one way or another.
I think this is a cool topic, is because I have a very clear memory of sitting in grade 10 social studies class watching a video in which we learned that Nelson Mandela died and his wife took over South Africa afterwards. So the Mandela effect had happened to me. So in 2017, when he did actually die, I was like, wait, he died in the 80s. And I looked it up and I found out about the Mandela effect and found out that a few more of them apply to me too. Things like the spelling of the Berenstain Bears. I could swear to you that I have sat in a room and held two Berenstain Bears books in my hands, and they had different spellings of the names. But that's
I feel like there are a series of misprints of companies trying to, because I've had those. I've had a physical copy of the Berenstain Bears.
But
I actually have had that.
But you don't have it now.
Another one
that's because I was a child and my family sold their books. We didn't hold on to shit that I was at the 5 years old. That's
another one that's really common is thinking that New Zealand is in a different place than it is. In my head, New Zealand is in
the place
Papua New Guinea is. And I've looked at that map plenty of times. I have a family member who used to live in Papua New Guinea. So there was no reason for me to think it was in a different place. But yeah, it just kind of is fascinating. Can all of those things be explained by an incorrect video or
there is not a lot of
maps? But
there is a lot of child maps that don't include
New Zealand.
So
I wasn't
that one,
a child at the time though. I was 20. It was 2017, so I was in my 20s.
So you're like, so then that begs the question. You distinctly remember in grade 10, which means you're about 15, 16. Seeing this video,
I could tell you what seat I sat in the class. I remember it perfectly.
So, but obviously you didn't.
Either that,
did
or
you see the video.
Could you find? Did you ever bother to see if that video? Maybe you were shown a misdirect.
Just because it doesn't, you don't have the evidence, doesn't mean it didn't happen. If you have the memories to prove it, to do it.
Quite frankly, I actually don't remember most of my grade 10 year. That sticks out to me. But there was a lot of trauma in my life that year, and I don't remember it. So it's interesting that I have a clear memory of that.
Sarah's not from our universe.
Maybe.
Already.
See, we might not all be from this universe. This could just be a new one that was made. Made from the observing. We made it. This new wonderful paradise.
Man.
Paradise? This is your room of paradise?
You're a Descartian after my own heart.
Do you live in the same universe?
None of us exist until we are observed.
Paradise is what you make it, Sarah.
Well, I have a new question. Back to Star Wars. What color is C-3PO?
Gold.
He's brass.
Wrong.
No.
Or copper.
He's gold and has a silver leg.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
he does. Now. He does now. But he didn't.
Yeah, he has
a red arm.
In the original ones, he always had the silver leg.
I do remember the silver leg, too.
Look it up in the...
No, you're reading it wrong. Everyone imagines it with the silver leg.
Oh, so you are on the other side of this Mandela effect, huh?
No, I looked it up earlier because I saw that one.
Oh, okay. Or is it that really?
No, I am.
Or what if it's both?
What if it's both?
Same time.
What if you want
both? Same time?
Look at the Christmas special.
That doesn't count.
Everyone's favorite.
No, my favorites are like Magic Mirror on the Wall.
Yeah, but those things are all so easily explainable as just misremembering. Yeah.
Wasn't it
No, I Am Your Father. Those ones are clearly just examples of misremembering.
I also find that to be a way that everyone's brain is trying to learn how to read sometimes. Everyone thinking that the idea of the Übermensch and that whole racist bullshit was done by Nietzsche.
I remember hearing about that one, but I don't remember
it. He wrote about how man can achieve mastery of their own self. His wife took it after he died and wrote her own book, taking that and talking about the whole Übermensch and race superiority bullshit. And because her last name's different too, but everyone, because she was married to him, everyone thought that was Nietzsche. And so he's forever been called a fascist or the father of fascism and shit like that when he had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Seems to me that that's the case of a man's work or a woman's work being attributed to a man.
Yeah. But that they usually do that to hide their identity so they wouldn't get killed. At least historically. Until the Countess Montgomery Urania. Which is a good book.
Yeah, the peanut butter Jif was always one for me that I always remember it as Jiffy. And I think as a kid, that's just the way that...
Oh, yeah, me too.
Just, he always add as a Y to something to make it more funny, more
exactly
interesting.
Or...
And they called my brother Wacky for like 3 years because of that.
Yeah, my favorite that made me first aware of the effect was one of my favorite books of all time. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, I remember there was something in Frankenstein.
Well, yeah. I don't know
what it was, but I remember hearing there was something about Frankenstein.
Who's Frankenstein?
It's the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is everyone remembers it as the monster.
The monster, whereas it's Frankenstein's monster.
But it's Frankenstein's monster. And the whole point of the book, the best part of the book, is Dr. Frankenstein goes crazy because he does not want people to attribute the monster with his name.
I guess most people just haven't read it.
But that's
I think that's fine too, because it's usually the title, right, is Frankenstein's, and a lot of things that you hear mainly about the book is the monster, right?
I just want to point out how amazing that is for a writer.
Oh, it's that double entendre, yeah.
No. For a writer to write a motivation of a character that they didn't want their name to be attributed with this horrific monster. And then 150 years later, majority of people would never imagine the doctor's name is Dr. Frankenstein. They all think it's the name of the monster. And that's
I don't know if I attribute that to like
the Mandela effect, but that's collectively wrong.
That's more just not being aware of what's actually
culture and people not caring enough to actually understand what they're talking about.
Yeah. Isn't that all being collectively wrong? People not caring what they talk about and hearing something or misremembering something and not finding out the truth.
I think that's like
Think back again to what I said about like having a very strong memory of learning that Mandela died in the 80s. Like that's what I was taught.
I think the Mandela effect is just like a topic that's very vague to describe these very different, like unique misremembrances or things that have been lost.
You could also
things with no prior history that have come up that you don't remember properly, pretty much.
I was just thinking to Sarah's point, like that's a more reason to encourage people to question things, even what they learn in schools.
Oh, yeah.
Like always question. True. Because let's say the reverse happened and you actually did learn that, you watched an erroneous video in class. I think that would be more of a stab against the education system and not encouraging kids to go beyond the material.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's how you generate interest. And no, it's so stupid because the weight on the public school system is already so heavy, and to ask them to do more would just cause more money, more funding.
More with less money and resources.
Yeah, exactly. But if we could, like, I would imagine, like, that would be the most ideal school. It would be like mini universities. You just give
schooling.
You have like a general education where you just give kids knowledge, and whatever they find interesting, they pursue on their own means. You just give them.
That's what I'd like it to be like. Because there's a lot of things I'd like to learn.
Recommend getting kids to actually do it.
I said this is my dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the idea is teaching people to value learning, right?
Yeah.
And learning is something that we should do at every step, even and not seeing learning as a chore, like studying. You know, it's something that you just do actively and passively sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. That's great.
But then
the reality of things is that children just want to play video games.
Even through video games, you can still learn.
I remember playing video games.
I learned a lot through Assassin's Creed about history and stuff. It just depends on the game or the context of things.
Sarah, have you not seen the zombie typing game?
Not. Typing of the Dead.
Oh my god, and it's actually typing really good. Typing of the Dead.
Yeah.
So it's a typing game, and it starts with a very low beginner difficulty, and then as you keep playing, it slowly amps it up. And each zombie you see on screen is words, and it's a whole game. It's a whole, and it's really well done. You should.
It used to be an old arcade game that you would just it was a shooter.
Yeah.
But then they made it so like to shoot things, you had to type out the name essentially. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
And it pretty much as it would go on, you'd get higher and higher names. Like you'd get 3-letter, 4 letters to start, and then it would get like 7 and 8 like in the later games. You're trying to type really fast to shoot this thing.
Typing in the Dead. Let's see if I can find a trailer.
I really like one day to like for video games to become more used in teaching on certain things, where some things you can't quite learn as easily, or it would drive that incentive for younger generations to learn because it's more fun. It's a game. It's not so much just feeling like a studying because it should be fun to learn. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
To be fair to the education system. With technology and the way we process information and get information changing so rapidly, especially over the last like 5 years, with COVID and the amount of focus on social media and how everything has become so pretty much prevalent as a social construct, like you have to give the education system time to catch up in a way that people will actually be more engaged with learning. Because there's I remember correctly,
kids are always going to be ahead of the teachers.
Exactly.
Like, things that the kids can do just sitting in class, I look at it and I'm like, I have no clue what that means.
Exactly. And it's not fair because things are moving so fast. We're in the modern age as it's defined. We progress so quickly and so fast. Yeah. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to ask the education system to keep up.
Yeah.
And so we have to wait. Unfortunately, we have to wait until certain periods when we plateau that the education system is allowed to catch up. Mm-hmm. Usually when development or technology slows down in those brief periods that we're able to allow.
It's not really effective long term though.
No, but that's why you constantly have programs and, God, this became an entire indictment on the education system. Yeah. This is why you have constantly updated curriculum.
Let's talk about off topics.
No, we do not have constantly updated curriculum. Some of our curriculum hasn't been updated since the 80s. Drama.
Some of the updates that they've been making 89. Are pretty weird.
Who fucking cares about drama? Really so great.
Lots of people.
Certain stuff and like
laughing, crying, and being angry is the same as it were everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all as a kid's. I would argue
a very long time. And our textbooks, like the textbooks that schools use, were written in the early 2000s.
I won't argue textbooks.
Yeah, but I remember getting those when they came out.
When it comes to art and drama, I would argue that is 100% based on your teacher. If you have someone who's truly dedicated to art and or drama, you could have no fucking stage props. Because I've gone to many drama shows where it is very minimalist, and it's still some of the best productions I've seen. Because it's just about the teacher, and it's about the passion.
Absolutely.
And I would like, because we had a horrible We had a stage and a horrible funding to our public, to our drama system in high school. But our drama teacher used to be like some dancer, some quasi, you know, famous girl on Broadway. And so she truly knew how to act. And our drama productions were always amazing. I hated it. Okay. I never did drama, but as part of the choir, because we would sing with them quite often. So, but yeah. So I mean, in that case, fucking need to fund drama. Just find good drama teachers.
Certain things need to be advanced. Some things are okay as it is. It just needs to be rightly educated people. And that's where, like I said, I think there could be some things where it could do like video games, like learning about history would be very cool because you got to learn it interactively through history.
Dude,
interesting.
Have you never
being there, being in that moment, and seeing stuff like that? Like, you know, you have the war
in the game, and you have to.
Oh my god, what's that game called?
Yeah, well, that's you know, having like a game that's had a teacher help design it, you know, would have a huge, you know, impact, I think.
There is a Mario game. But also,
the problem is that curriculum is so individual to different places. Our curriculum here is not the same as your curriculum there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well,
if you were in high school and I was in high school, we would not be learning the same thing.
That's where you can, nowadays with like indie games and stuff like that, you can kind of get a few different designers to kind of like make privatized-ish games in a sense, because you don't need a huge developer. You just kind of need people who know how to have the right coding and the right programs. System to
spend money.
Well, of course, everything to have a job working in a business is going to cost. That's the point. But that's where.
That's it.
It's not. There's better funding needs to be put in different places. It's a structural thing that needs to be figured out.
I don't know.
What you were thinking before, this Andrew, is a dream with an ideal world. With a history video game.
Yeah.
Was done in 1993 with Mario's Time Machine. I owned it for the SNES. I still have it. It's one of my favorite games.
It would be awesome, but just the logistics of it would be crazy.
Yeah. And like the only way I would foresee it getting done for like a class is having like a teacher who had learned how to make video games and had spent his time doing that in his free time already, right?
Free time.
It's the only way something like that would right now get done.
To make video games just for school.
Well, he would have if someone who had been a designer had already gone through the time to do it before he became a teacher. So he already has an alpha build, you know.
On a side note, one of my favorite science fiction writers of all time, Isaac Asimov, had really no respect for we'll say blue collar workers. And so in one of the futures that he imagined, people that do things like fix cars or menial jobs, they actually not get an education system. They'll just have the job labor and the ability to do it imprinted on their brain because they're not capable of higher levels of thinking. So they're easily just these instructions
are
basically, but they're not. They're free thinking. Like they still make a wage, but like people who can't. People who can like think and who like have an active brain, they're put into like this utopia society where they sit and do nothing but think of magical ways and advancements to technology. It's actually one of my favorite short stories.
That's a wild theory.
It's pretty nuts. Utopia. But the thing about Isaac Asimov is he writes it and it sounds so believable. Because there's a scene where like the main character of this short story meets his best friend. And his best friend was like taught to make this one engine, but he can't make this other engine, even though it's only one part is different. Like the way it's described in the book, described in the short story is that this one little piece that doesn't even have anything to do with the function of the engine is what's different. And because it's different, his friend will refuse to work on it because he doesn't know how to work on those engines. Just because they have a different name, because he was imprinted with the previous model. It's nuts. Good old Isaac Asimov.
See, and imagine like in a thing like teaching for like story comprehension. Imagine having like a VR stuff where you could be in the book and you have a voice that's reading the book to you, and you can see the text, and you're watching Moby Dick, you know, and you watch a whale come out of the water and eat a little ship or something like that. Or, you know, or like you have Brian's song and you see watching this whole tale of like this dude trying to help his buddy go through football. Right.
Yeah.
You have all these really cool songs that these different. Yeah,
I know Brian's Winter. And Hatchet.
Brian's song was, it was about, I think it was a time, it was a story that was during segregation where this this college kid, it was this athlete, this African athlete who had been sponsored by this university. It was one of the first few that had been during the time where they were trying to change things. And he had a change friend. I'm not sure. And I didn't read, I read the book because it was a school project. I didn't read the book because I wanted to.
Watch it be like one of like, I'm gonna look it up. Watch it be like some like
it's a Pulitzer pretty modern story, winning, it's
like yeah probably
super time honored classic book.
It's a feel good story. What's where it's called? Like it's Brian's Song. It's an older book.
I recognize that name.
There's a 1971 film.
Yeah,
it might have been. Yeah.
So the kids I work with, they have time to silent read regularly. And it is like pulling teeth to get them to actually do it. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. If I was in high school and was allowed to read during class, like that was the good day. Yeah, well,
because back in the day, books were your, you know, 8 years.
I'm not that old. But these kids, like, they legitimately
That's how fast things have advanced, right?
Drives me crazy. Like, they
That's what I mean. Imagine then if like, story comprehension was a video.
Staring at a bookshelf than spend 10 minutes reading a book. I don't get it.
We had
that's hard because you have to find like at school I had a teacher that had to show me the fun of reading, right? What do you enjoy a lot of it? Having the imagination to actually comprehend a story and see it and be there and feel for these characters and stuff, you know? As a kid you don't really understand it. It's just text on a page.
I mean, as a kid I understood it.
We had all through English in our high school. I had this one English teacher because she loved me in grade 10. It was this lady was a walkover. Everyone hated her because she was super. She was one of those teachers that she hated everyone. But for some reason, I just knew how to play her like a fiddle, and I got. But one thing she would do. Is same thing. She'd make us read for 10 minutes every day in class. But she wouldn't give us a book list. She would make it, you'd have to read, to make sure we were reading it, the plays. Usually Romeo and Juliet, Tempest, Macbeth, whatever.
I have to read a certain number of novels this year. I think it's 2 or 3.
Anyway.
And they all complain about it constantly. Like, 2 novels in a year? Get over it.
Anyway, yeah. See, the best thing about it is I just read it all in like one day, all three plays or the play. And then I would just sit there and I wouldn't read and I'd draw. And she'd be like, why are you reading? I'm like, I've already read it. And she'd look at me and be like, oh, really? And then I would just tell her about different parts.
Ask you questions and stuff. Yeah.
And then she'd look at me and be like, oh, okay. And then next thing I know, I didn't do any tests. I didn't write anything down. And I'd get my grade and I have like a 90. I'm like, the fuck am I doing in this class?
Wow. Yeah, reading's not, it's not a hard thing. Like, it would usually take me like a day or two to read a book if you just really sit there and read the book and get interested in it. But
exactly.
If you don't care, it's kind of hard to sit there.
You need to get them a book like Douglas Copeland's.
Because you need to teach kids how to have fun sometimes.
Oh, one Generation of them picked up the Tempest the other day and actually really loved it. That was a shock. He's one of the ones who will just like stare at the bookshelf, but he picked up the Tempest and now let's read that.
Did he? Have you read the Tempest?
No.
I don't think I read it.
It's really racist.
Is it?
Yeah.
You learned something new, right?
Good to know.
It's about a white guy named Prospero who comes to an island inhabited by Caliban and his people, and he calls them very, very rude words because he's
very unkind.
I doubt that he got that far. He's actually really sensitive to that kind of stuff, so
Oh, that's like the maybe the first. Are you kidding me? That's in the beforehand.
Learn not to.
That's before you even learn the beginning.
He may not have understood it.
Then
he certainly. I feel pretty confident with this particular kid that he did not love it because.
Yeah, if you've ever experienced racism, too,
it's to like read it. It's like it's honestly it's the Merchant of Venice for people who are of color, where my people do not like the Merchant of Venice because it paints Jews in a bad light and it pretty much makes
read the Merchant of Venice.
It's basically a hate piece towards my people by Shakespeare. Really? Yep. Oh, dude, it's so bad.
Wow. And
because I forget his name. It's so. The name of the main character or the main I guess antagonist, the Jew. He has every right because they basically scan him out of his money, his daughter, and everything he owns, and everyone laughs about it, and that's considered a good ending. It's ridiculous. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
It's bad. It's
racist. Good to know.
That is the same thing about the Tempest. They take Caliban's Caliban's wealth, they take all of Caliban's family, the place where he lives, and then they turn all the magical folk, because they don't look like him or his people, they turn Prospero and the main characters, turn them against Caliban and kick them off the island, and then the island's all theirs, and they're prosperous and live happily ever after. Oh, it's so racist.
Okay.
Like, and it is unapologetically racist in the Shakespeare fashion. So if you have a kid who's sensitive to that, who's reading The Tempest, you might need to unpack because they might not know what they're reading.
He almost certainly does not.
Because they might need to unpack that because it is extremely racist.
I actually gave my younger brother, I think, his first novel when I went to go see my mom for the weekend.
Read
this book called The Dragon's Keeper, and like he only reads that comic book online. And I got that at like the Scholastic book thing a long time ago. I thought it was a great book. So
I remember that.
It's not a big. It's not a hard book, and it's pretty big, like print. So it's not. Nice. It's not a task. You can totally read it in a year.
Well, we've hit the hour. Any closing remarks?
Read more people.
Reality's weird.
Is
a great
one. Reality's weird. Read more people.
Don't eat people.
Yes. Don't stop people. To ask yourself, there you go. Are you really from a multiple universal dimension that you're really not sure about?
That being said,
because who knows?
I am sorry you had nothing better to do out there in cyberspace. I'm glad you spent it with us here. I am
C4. You? Are you remembering this differently? We don't know.
That's
check
insane.
It out.
Maybe.
Are you okay?
Beside me is Sarah Mike. Across this great grease goblin. Remember, you can catch the Villains Talk Show anywhere you get your podcasts.
Who am I if you're not you?
Even Facebook does podcasts now. If you're in America, you can get podcasts. You can get the Villain Talk Show there. Just search it. Search the Villains Talk Show.
Here in America? I can't abide by that.
I said North America.
Okay.
Anyway, you can get the podcast anywhere you search the Villains Talk Show. Just so everyone knows, we do use Buzzsprout. We do use Buzzsprout as our main platform. Big thanks to them. I put a link in the description if you want to use them. That's 100% free. Yeah. We use them to build our podcast. You could easily start one if you wanted to.
Start your own podcast, and then maybe you can join us.
Yeah.
Be special guests.
You're a lot better than we are.
We are.
Yeah.
Such
that's
is
why we're the villains.
Not hard.
The life of the villains.
Ooh.